is Internet Reports bi-weekly pulse update, where we keep our finger on the pulse of the internet and see how it's holding up week after week. We often hear that the internet is held together with chewing gum and string, but quite frankly, the truth is only slightly less concerning. Every other week, I'll be back here sharing the latest outage numbers, highlighting a few interesting outages, trends, traits, and general health of the internet. This week, I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Kamal. How are you, mate? How's it going?
Hey, Mike. Good to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Before we get started, I do actually want to welcome everyone. This is a new podcast and a new flavor of the Internet Report. So we're producing this in the show. We've been producing this show in a blog form for like nearly a year now. So we really thought it was about time we sort of verbalize it and start to sort of come across there and show our findings in podcast forms. But don't worry, we're still going to be producing the Deep Dive Internet Report anytime anything major happens. The idea of this is just to keep you something regular within your podcast that you could actually listen to understand what's going on from the health of the internet. Now, just before we get started, in terms of housekeeping, we'd love for you to hit like and subscribe so you can do that and keep your fingers on the pulse of the internet every week. Because I said, we're going to be putting this out from there. But any questions you've got, any ideas, anything you want to look into, reach out to us anytime at the internet report at thousandeyes.com. And we're happy to potentially address your questions for future episodes. All right, let's dive in. And before we start, we're going to look at the numbers to see what happened this week. So what we're looking at here is the numbers. And some of the interesting things, Kamal, that started to see is this decrease as we start to come down. So this is obviously going back to sort of early October there. And we can see the start to increase. What we're looking at here is the global outages observed, and then we actually sort of break that down as well to US perspective as well. Just really interesting to sort of see the trends. And the reason we're sort of breaking out the US outages is that when we look, or as I've looked at these numbers over time, what I've actually started to see is that the US outages typically attribute about 38% of all the observed outages. So it just makes sense for us to actually track see what's going on from there. But the interesting thing I really want to call out here is as we start to get into sort of the November timeframe, so we're starting to get in the area there. This is kind of seasonal. We sort of see a drop coming off from there. So we see this decrease from 352, 231, and then it drops dramatically to 222, right? That's a 33% drop. That's not necessarily unusual. It's actually quite seasonal, but it's interesting that it is occurring around that week of November 21st to 27th, which for us in the, me in the Southern Hemisphere, you in Northern Hemisphere, but neither of us in North America, that's Thanksgiving week. So
yeah, it's actually quite interesting to see this dip for the week of November 21st till November 27th, right? As we know, it's a Thanksgiving week. People are probably taking their vacations, you know. And interestingly enough, as you pointed out, this is like period of time when the things are kind of slowing down in terms of changes and stuff like that. And, you know, companies are moving towards the change freezes, to be perfectly honest. Like if you think about it, like holiday season is where the companies are going to have less employees being on call and you know, engineers looking at the stuff. And, you know, so it kind of makes sense that this dip that we see, especially in November 21st to 27, you know, it kind of makes sense that it happened, right? So hopefully people were enjoying their holidays and, you know, having a good time, right?
I give thanks down here because it means my email box is kind of quiet for that week. So I can see the same what's going on there. But it is interesting. And you talk about the freezes we see there. We see this sort of coming across. And like I said, if I look seasonally back across, you know, we've got this data going back sort of years, and we can actually start to see this. It kind of follows these patterns coming from there. And maybe not for this episode, but digging into it for later on, I'm also now starting to see sort of a different patterns happen. So we come down to November change. I'm seeing a bit of a rush in some areas, and then I expect to drop off again over the holiday period again. But while we're at that point, let's take a look at what the internet has served up for us in the terms of outages, and let's go under the hood with a couple of interesting events. All right, Kamal. So having said I've promised you an outages or dive into the outages, there really isn't that much thematical about the set of incidents and degradations that we want to talk about today. But there was some really interesting idiosyncrasies that went into there. And I think that warrants some investigation. So let's sort of jump in. The first one we want to talk about is a general look at the Twitter landscape since it sold to Elon Musk. And while nothing major happened, again, I keep using the word a lot, but I do find it fascinating. Some of these little footprints and traits we've actually started to see from there. Just a quick note again, before we dive into this, if you're actually curious about what we're seeing and what we're showing here on the screen, for those of you listening along, we'll actually be able to, you can, if you want to get in to dive into these views themselves, we will have various links beneath the show notes there, or as well as if you actually go to the Pulse update blog as well. Again, they'll have the screenshots and the actual views yourself, so you can actually see what it is we're actually sort of going on about from here. So if we go back in time, we can start to see where these sort of outages are occurring. They're quite sporadic, but as we actually start to get into this area where the sale took place, what we actually start to see is intensity starts to increase. And we start to these periods here where we're starting to see quite a lot of activity where we're actually sort of going in to see what sort of happens from an outage perspective. As I said, again, these are all kind of sporadic. And what they were really interesting was that none of these were sort of that devastating in terms of they started to really impact the end users. People were reporting lagginess. People were saying sort of things were failing to load. But what's really interesting from our perspective was the way we were able to actually visualize this, to be able to see what was going on. So to start with, I saw these sort of outages occurring from there, or these hits in degradations in service, but down to be able to get into sort of each level. The other thing I want to say about that really is that a lot of the people, when the sale took place, were sort of saying it's going to fall over within 3 weeks. We haven't seen any of that. Like I said, we've seen these degradation occurring and these small instances, which to a degree, and I think you and I discussed this offline before, is that this is almost understandable. If I'm going in and starting to look at something to understand what's going on, I might want to just sort of turn things on and off to see exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, you know, there was a lot of discussion on what went on, and there were some unfortunate events such as layoffs and, you know, other things that happened during this time frame when it happened. But, you know, it actually speaks a lot, the fact that the Twitter did not buckle, right? It speaks a lot about the really good SRE and architectural practices that they were following, right? If you think about it, you know, reducing workforce was quite significant. You know, there was a lot of churn as a result of unsatisfaction of people over there, you know. And, you know, I was actually quite curious on what this is going to look like. And as you pointed out, these are just sporadic outages taking place. But, you know, and yes, while they were affecting people to a certain degree, nothing major happened. And, you know, when I was reading some blog posts from the people that unfortunately departed the company, right, they were speaking about, or they were writing about SRE practices and good engineering practices. And I was quite impressed of what they were doing at the company. So actually, if you think about it, it does not surprise that the architecture and the platform held so well. So the last thing that actually took place, as far as I can recall, is that route leak that happened back in March of 2022, which we actually covered on the Internet Report. But the thing is, like, it was outside of their control. So the fact that, you know, they went through all of this that happened to the company, you know, it actually speaks quite a lot about, like, how good the architecture and infrastructure actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we saw within the system itself, like I said, we saw sort of 503 service unavailables where things were dropping out. They're all really short durations, sort of at, you know, a minute, 2 minutes at a time. We then sometimes saw sort of the longest one I think I saw was 11 minutes, which was something around in terms of some authentication issues, which to a degree have been documented where some two-factor authentication, there was a failure to send out some from an email perspective around there. But really, like I said, everything was really short and it was within the application itself. So one of the things I found really interesting was sort of how this manifests itself in very small areas and within the application itself. So this is a real cool one. I think I've said this to you many times. I'm a simple man. I like looking at pictures. This was really beautiful as it sort of came down. So what we're looking at here is we're looking at an individual transaction where we're actually going to it. And this is where we sort of saw one of these outages occurring, which is degradations in service. What we see down at the bottom in the waterfall is a beautiful step. I could actually walk down that quite nicely into my back garden there, these sort of steps coming in from there. But what it is a whole series of redirects. So it's simply just redirecting to itself. So basically, it's looking for a case or something like that. So it's actually redirecting. It's getting to itself and it's saying, no, I'm not the right place, and sending it exactly back to itself again. So it gets stuck in this loop and eventually it times out. In our case, this times out from a test perspective, but also what happens is you get too many redirects and then the system actually stops itself. But if I just quickly go before that, just to show the contrast between what happened between those steps, this is immediately before, and this is what we'd expect to see from a page load time, a waterfall, I should say. We actually start to see it come down really nicely, quite parallel, and those processes happening from there. So these are just little glicks. What you'd have seen in this instance would have been maybe sort of a laggy performance. I'd have actually just delayed for a minute, and then my system would have actually connected in from there. So all these little bits sort of fiddling around, see what was happening, I just find kind of fascinating to see what was there.
You know, it's funny that they call this view waterfall, you know, or this particular, loading of the objects, but this actually looks like a waterfall to me. So
it does, doesn't it? It does. Nice waterfall coming down through from there. Okay. So having promised you outages, Kamal, now we're actually going to get into one. This is a Microsoft Office 365 outage, or it's actually a Microsoft outage that occurred December the 2nd there, and sort of impacted sort of more people in the really APAC region down from there, so which is why it's sort of close to my heart. The outage is actually quite significant. It was sort of an hour and 20 minutes. We actually sort of saw this occurring from there.
So it's quite actually interesting to see how this event unfolded, you know. If you look at the timeline view from the application outages perspective, and you move forward, you will see how actually application went and had the outage affecting Tokyo users in Japan, right? And as we progress throughout the event, you will see that more and more users within the Asia Pacific region actually start getting impacted. And as you can see here, we have a quite a beautiful representation of what we are just speaking about. So on the right hand side, you can see people in Singapore, Hong Kong, Kuala Lumpur, Tokyo being affected, right? And you know, to Microsoft's credit, they actually publicly announced what happened. So there was like root cause analysis and stuff like that. And it turns out that this was result of legacy code that was not able to serve the request in time. And you know, quite interestingly, solution for this particular event was, you know, just to just to reload.
Did it off and right? On. That's right. Yeah, the internet guys. Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. And as you say, so the leg system unable to process at the time there. And if we look at the errors we're seeing there, they're really just timeouts. So the system was failing. And what I like about this, and this moment in time, so you know, this was occurring at 10 to 1 UTC, which is actually 10 to 10 Japanese Central Time, which is, you know, part of it actually affecting the infrastructure in that region. It's also why they noticed it as well. It was in the middle of their working day, sort of where it was the outside from there.
Exactly.
We can
quite clearly see that this affected, a lot of users. You know, we said it multiple times. There's this paradigm shift as part of which, you know, cloud is our new data center, right? And software as a service applications are, you know, the way forward is part of which, like, everyone's using software as a service applications, or they are actually, moving towards the infrastructure as a service model. And, you know, this being a SaaS suite of applications actually probably was negatively felt by the users in the region.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point there about it being the SaaS and everyone across from there, which kind of throws me back to my numbers at the start, and I won't go back into the details, but we talk about the code freezes across from there. This is also an indication that the internet is now a huge reliance for not just the people at home, but also the businesses themselves. You know, we had an issue here from a SaaS application, this sort of dramatic effect from there. And this is the moment in time here is where the actual the turn it off and on again started to occur and really started to clear the queues down. As you said, Microsoft were really quite open about this. They said that they had this issue with legacy infrastructure, a legacy process there, which required token authentication. And then they actually did this reset to effectively clear the queues, move workloads off and shift things around. And we can see, again, my step process comes back in. We see it recover sort of down from there. But as you say, saw the complete outage. Again, a beautiful picture's painted.
Agreed.
Let's move on to our last outage for this week. On December the 5th, just after 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, AWS Ohio-based US East 2 region experienced connectivity issues. What did we see, Kamal?
Yeah, so actually what we are looking at is intermittent spikes in packet loss that affected connectivity towards the US East 2 Amazon region, which is quite a large region for that matter. So if we look at the path visualization for this particular test, approximately at 7:30 UTC on the 5th of December, we see that multiple agents, in fact, 18 agents that were assigned to this test are executing everything, correctly. Everything is working fine. However, approximately at 7:40, we can start seeing certain red circles, which actually means that some of these hops were experiencing what we call forwarding loss. So if I move forward within the event timeline, you can quite clearly see that we have this chunk of red circles on towards the right hand side, which essentially indicates that traffic going towards the AWS region, US East 2 in this particular case, were having some problems. Now, if we a little bit zoom in onto this event and see, select one of the agents, such as Seattle agent, right, from the central link perspective, from the agent dropdown menu, we are going to start seeing values for that one. And if I select that one as the only agent for that particular view, we are going to see how this event unfolded. And as you can see from the left-hand side, we see a Seattle agent is deployed in CenturyLink, and the traffic was going towards the agent that's deployed in AWS in US East 2. And if I hover over this red circle, which tells me where the forwarding loss was experienced, I can see a quite interesting thing in format of the fact that reverse DNS lookup tells me that this was a peering link between level 3, which is a tier 1 provider again, autonomous system number 3356, and Amazon 6509, right? So it looks like the event actually unfolded on the Amazon's edge, which might be due to the fact that, something went wrong with the control plane at the time. Maybe there was some, large event that, spikes the CPUs and stuff like that, or there was some automation change, automated change that actually caused this, or there was typical engineering change that actually, maybe configuration error or something like that. It's hard to know from this perspective, but we are actually looking into the event, into details, we can quite clearly see that the event took place at the Amazon edge. Now, the percentages are not that high. We are looking at, somewhere around a few percent of packet loss, which is probably the reason why not a lot of people actually complained about the region. But I think that this particular view is quite important because it gives us, visibility into the forwarding path, as part of which you can see traffic going to the Amazon from the agent on the left-hand side. And, quite importantly, we see the traffic flowing back from the Amazon, from the US East 2 region towards the agent that was originating the traffic originally, right? So why is that important? It's important from the perspective of the fact that the internet is asynchronous, right? The traffic that's going in forwarding direction quite often is not going to take the same path back, when the responses are going on. And in this particular case, we actually see that. So here, if I just follow the arrows, and if I hover over these icons, I can see that this loss was again happening somewhere down in probably on the Amazon's backbone at this stage.
So we can see this within the Amazon backbone coming across in there. We're sort of showing the forward and reverse in there. So the impact because this is in US East 2, we're actually looking that local, it looks like it's the ISPs. So as you said many times, the edge coming in from there. So what type of impact would we have experienced if I'm hosting there or what, let me just say, what impact might have seen from here? Yeah.
Yeah, even though the percentages are quite small, we know that packet loss tends to cripple throughput of the flows, right? So
yeah,
if you are essentially hosting something in US East 2 at this time, and there's like 2% of packet loss or something like that, you know, your users might see degraded performance in, you know, of your services, essentially, right? Like right. You know, they are trying to open up a certain web page, or they are trying to transact with the service that you are hosting in this particular region, and they are having a hard time actually getting your experience. Fortunately enough, this you know, this was again a small percentage of packet loss, but still significant enough, you know, for our platform to actually observe it and notice it, you know. And then again, like you know, it goes without saying, but you know, visibility is a key here, you know, having this kind of a signal coupled with alerts and dashboards, you know, can be a difference between you actually having to receive reports about you having a problem from the customers, which, you know, in the end of the 2022 is the worst possible way of actually getting to know about, you know, performance issues of your resource.
End of 2022, you're making me feel very old. Rushes by past there. All right, that's really interesting. Thank, and I love the way again it shows up from there, simple with the pictures. I like this bi-directional stuff we can actually see from there, and you know, really allows you to definitively say this is where the problem lies. So it comes back to identifying responsibility. So thanks for that, mate. So that's our show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Twitter. As always, if you have questions, feedback, and we'll take all of it, good, bad, or ugly. Or any guests you'd like to see, as I said, anything you'd like featured on the show, please just send us a note at the internetreport@thousandeyes.com. And that's also where new subscribers can claim their free t-shirt. Just send us your address and t-shirt size, and we'll get that right over to you. So with that, thanks, Kamal. Really appreciate your time, mate.
Thank you so much, Mike. This was a lot of fun.